Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. I'm your host Matthew, and today I'm here to do another film review. This is going to be for Pixar's newest addition to cinema in Elio. I think it's Elio, not Elio. So I'm going to go with Elio for this review. Let's go to our rating system. Usually a good place to start. We'll be beginning spoiler-free. We've got strong must-see, don't skip, possible skip, and hard skip. I have thought about this film for a couple of hours because I finished watching it a couple of hours, came home, did some things, and now I'm here to talk about the film. I have not come up with a reason to not give this a strong must-see. Everything that I have thought about and digested with the film over the past couple of hours has only caused me to like it more. When I've thought about certain scenes, thought about what the story was doing, thought about the characters, and of course, in classic, phenomenal Pixar style, the amount of heart that's in this film. So I can't. I mean, I loved the film. Very much loved the film. I had a really, really great time there. It's not just the case of, oh, I can't think of a reason why I didn't like it, therefore it gets the best rating. I was just kind of, you know, mentioning that up front. I want to talk about the box office thing in a minute, because that is a bit of an unfortunate situation. Box office wise may tell a different story, which it does currently. Who knows, maybe things pick up. Word of mouth can be obviously very good for things. Same thing kind of happened with Elemental. I think it didn't start off very well, or whatever it was with that. But I think this is another win for Pixar. Another one. Yet another one. On the eve of their 30th, at least for releasing films in the cinema. Because their first was November 95 with Toy Story. And we're very, very close to being 30 years into Pixar's history. So it's another one. Another one to add to the catalogue of consistency, excellence, and probably the thing they go for the most, which is heart, which this film is absolutely full of that. It's full of heart, it's full of a lot of smile-worthy moments. I found it quite funny. I found it to be cute as well, which is, I don't think I describe that many things as cute, at least not that many, you know, films, games, shows, whatever, as specifically cute. And it combined the sort of cute moments together with the funny moments really, really well. That also combined with, again, this film is just, it's flooded with heart, if that makes any sense. It's amazing, really, with Pixar, because even though they've done the same thing in very different ways, because, of course, for various different characters, it's amazing how, because Pixar's one of the, everybody's got their own DNA of, like, the way they do a certain thing, right? Something can be very, very excellent, but there's just a certain DNA and a certain way that everybody does something. And Pixar's always had that kind of, you know, heart, the heartfelt moments, the pulling at your heartstrings, all that kind of thing. And it's kind of amazing that they've consistently, I think in every film, to varying degrees, they're not all as good as each other, all of their films. You know, you can't all be Toy Story 1. But it's amazing that that hasn't got old yet, or sort of, because it's funny when you walk into a Pixar film and you expect that DNA to be there, and it always is, at least as far as I can remember. But it's funny to go, isn't it interesting to kind of go, consistently go into a studio's films to watch them, expect a certain something, and to 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, to hit that mark, to at least hit that mark, not knock it out of the park every single time, but to at least hit that mark a bunch of times. And Elio just does it again. It's been really disappointing in these last couple of weeks, not just, or the last, what, week or so, week and a half maybe, to see, hearing about, like, you know, 25 million domestic opening, which is horrible. And I personally, because when people were saying, like, hey, what are you up to at the weekend or whatever, and I was mentioning this film, I was mentioning this and 28 Years Later, everybody I spoke to knew what 28 Years Later was. There was probably about 6 to 8 different people I spoke to. So like, hey, what are you up to? I'm going to see this film. Oh, what are you seeing? Elio. And they went, what's that? Marketing's been terrible for this film. Yeah, quite bad. Unless, of course, you have Disney Plus with ads turned on, which I do, in which case you've been seeing a lot of Fantastic Four and Elio ads. And look, I know not everybody's in tune with what's going on with the industry and stuff, but like, Pixar films are Pixar films. But they've done it again with this. They've just I feel like I don't need to describe to you why this film is so good, because you could probably just okay, imagine you watch the trailer for it and you think, okay, what could be. Now, you might not agree, you might watch the film and you might not think it's as good as what I say, or you might think it's better than what I say somehow, or something in between. But imagine, okay, you watch the trailer and you kind of know what you're in for in a way, in terms of what Pixar's doing. And imagine like the best version of that film. That is how that came across to me. This film speaks about things like loneliness. It speaks about things like who are your people. I feel like I just kind of went through this as well with Thunderbolts because of what happens with Yelena's character, but obviously in a very, very different sense. But one thing I found very interesting with this film is because Elio is literally a kid. I'm not sure how old he's supposed to be, but I sense like either older child or like very young teenager. So like 8 to 12 was the vibe I got. I don't remember anybody actually saying you're such and such old or him having a birthday or something. But he's a very, very young guy, a young lad, and there is in certain films and stuff where that kids that age can come across as adorable and cute in certain ways. And then he meets this character later on in this film who just adds to that. And I feel like, again, for Pixar or for any family-friendly films, you have to target everybody for your audience, which the audience, by the way, in terms of box office stuff, there was only, because I sat in the front row that was next to me, because there was two columns, sorry, of people, and it was pretty much full. It was pretty much full. In fact, when I went to like leave to go, when I went to check the seating and stuff, I looked at it and it was like double as full as it was the day before. Which is really, really good for the health of this film. So that was great to see. And again, there was older people in there was kids in there was people sort of anywhere in between. But I feel like if you had gotten, again, like an 8 to 12 year old kid and not written them properly and had them come across more sort of bratty and spoiled rather than the sort of alone, oh, they sort of look at him, poor thing, kind of thing. That's kind of how this comes across, but in the best way. I feel like you could slip quite easily and not write that as well, and probably 60% of this film wouldn't work as well as it does. And then he meets another character later on who's like kind of similar, and it's just they're kind of cute together in sort of funny way, cute and funny, and kind of just again, there's the sort of lightheartedness in this. But yeah, there was moments in this film I like slightly got choked up at. There was mo just like those, just those heartwarming moments that Pixar's just it's just so good at it. And yeah, it was just a really lovely film to watch at times as well. It just kind of, don't get me wrong, it's got the sort of like, oh no, something really bad's happening, but then it's got plenty of the kind of warm your heart kind of moments, and then the sort of sad but warm your heart, because there's different warm your heart moments, right? There's a sort of like, oh, this is really lovely, this is really cute kind of thing, and then there's a sort of like, oh no, someone's really sad, but it's kind of heartwarming because you can feel what they can feel because it's been done really well and all that sort of thing. So that was brilliant as well. In terms of things like pacing, structure, the film comes in, I think, about 1 hour or 40 minutes. Didn't feel too long, didn't feel too short. Structure, you've basically got like two places, so they manage that pretty well, and I didn't feel too much of the kind of, oh, you've cut away too quickly kind of thing. I didn't feel that too much. So It was one where I didn't walk away thinking like, oh, the structure was really brilliant, or the structure was really bad. It was just pretty good. Voice acting's very good. The animation, again, just top quality in terms of animation and things like that. I thought the end of the film was great. I don't want to tell you like how I feel about it fully one way or the other, because that might give away certain things. I would kind of like a sequel to this. I think there's room to do that, but business is business and box office is box office. Because I saw some sort of interview where the executive, I'm not sure who it was, joked about like, oh, Elio's flopped. I guess we're making Toy Story 27, which, fine by me. But that's the thing at the end of the day. You can't moan at a studio for like, oh, why are you making a fifth or a fourth film of this? But then, hey, if you don't see the originals, what else are there? If a company realizes that sequels are more financially viable, which Inside Out 2 last year, and then you don't go see their original films, you're not telling them that you want them to what that you want them to make original films. That's why you've heard things in the last couple of days about like a Ratatouille 2, and obviously why we're getting like Incredibles 3, because those films all make like, billions of dollars. So I don't think this is a case of, because okay, I'm sitting here kind of trying to sing this film's praises as much as I can, right? Because it deserves it. But why is it so low at the box office right now? I feel like it's, I don't even think it's, because there's a difference between a company making people aware of the films that they're making, and then actually making the trailers themselves sell the film well. But if you can't get past point A first, which is make people aware of your film, which this is a Disney Pixar film, this should have tons of eyes on it. I mean, Lilo and Stitch is, I think, like heading towards $1 billion. Which again, for those of you crying about live action remakes, which I have been, but I haven't seen Lilo and Stitch. Well, you just told Disney that you want more of them because you just caused Lilo and Stitch to make $1 billion. So, although I have heard very good things about Lilo and Stitch, but I love this film. It's one I'm going to be thinking about for a bit of time. I would love a sequel to it. I think that could be a very interesting thing to do. I think there's some interesting themes in here again about loneliness and about finding your people, and certainly grief is in there as well. It's interesting as well because when I look at what this film's actually about, like if I kind of take away the themes and I look at the plot and the things that happen, it does come across quite basic. It is essentially, and again, I won't spoil it, it's essentially kid is lonely because of spoiler reason. He gets fascinated by space. He then realizes, oh, there might be life out there. Let me try and get abducted. He, again, this is in the trailers, he finds those people. He is more happy, and the film goes from there. It is a somewhat basic idea, and at some points this film does feel slightly basic, but I think it's just build up at certain points. Because then when this film does get to its like bigger beats and things like that, it really does hit quite well. So adding in the pacing is great for an hour and 40 minutes. So again, in my opinion, in my eyes, box office out the way or whatever. I think Pixar has done it yet again. Just another win, just another one. Yeah, it's I love what this studio does. I really do, and I don't think anybody else does what they do, at least as consistently as what they do. Obviously, there's other films that other people make that use the same themes, but there's just, man, I was just sitting and just watching this film and just watching like the emotional parts of this play out, and I'm like, you've done it again. Yeah, so anyway, as I've been saying for the last couple of years, Pixar, you make whatever you want, I'll be there. I don't even need to know. I know I said this before. If you were to say, hey, at this date, a new Pixar film is coming out, and I didn't know the title, I didn't see a trailer, you just said it's a new Pixar film, I might not know, I won't know if it's a new film, a spin-off, a sequel, whatever it would be, I'd still just, I would genuinely just like blindly turn up. Because they're just, whether or not I fully, love the characters and, whatever else, you can be, I want to say, I don't want to say 99% sure, I want to say 100% sure that you know that that thing, that special thing that Pixar does is just going to be there. It's just, it's become too reliable at doing that. We'll see how much longer they can continue doing it for, but, 30 years is a pretty good streak, isn't it? So, I loved it. Like I said, I thoroughly recommend it. Just a little note, if you are taking young kids, please try to keep them as quietly as you can. I had a fairly decent, for my actual theatre experience, there was a kid that was making noise every now and again, but their parents, I hope it was a parent, kept shushing them. I hope it wasn't some random person. I hope that was somebody related to that child. Could have been, uncle or something like that. But it wasn't actually terribly disruptive. But there were long stretches of this film where no one was making too much noise. So, very good on that front as well. But yeah, just, I know Pixar's for everybody, but please keep the younger ones quiet, please. On behalf of everybody. So, anyway, that is my spoiler-free section here. I don't know how much I want to talk about with spoilers, because I don't know. We'll see where we go with this, I suppose. There's definitely some big plot points, and we'll just, I guess, start with them. So, anyway, in the meantime, if you've seen Elio, I think it's pronounced again, if you have or you haven't, let me know. If you did see it, did you like it more, less, or the same amount as me? If you haven't seen it yet, are you planning to go see it? And also, if you didn't know this film existed, please tell me as well. I'd be curious to see how many of you, say you see this pop up in your podcast feed, and, oh, Matt reviewed new Pixar film. I didn't even know that this was, you didn't know it was out, that you didn't know what it was, because there's plenty of those people. Let me know if that's the field that you're in. And, hey, if you didn't know this film exists, good news. There's a new good Pixar film out. So go and check it out and support the studio, because I think they deserve it. Anyway, MatthewAtEntertainmentTalk.org, social media, eTalk, Care Entertainment Talk. There's information in your show notes. So whatever point in the fence you're sitting on, I'd love to know what you think of this film. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, May United podcasts. We've got a new gaming talk this week, so check that out. We've got going to be releasing my Fantastic Four preview tomorrow. Of course, that comes out very soon. As also, of course, we're still putting out the refreshed Breaking Bad episodes on Wednesdays. Look out for those. We just got wrapped up with things like The Last of Us, plus also celebrating the first game turning 12 and the second game turning 5 years old already. We've got those. Got a couple of United Cast episodes, the Who Should Stay, Who Should Go episode, and the season wrap up. So, dare to go over to there if you will right now. But that's back on the shelf until August. So there's that. And yeah, a bunch of other stuff we've done, some of which I might not recall right now. Win or Lose, I just reviewed that as well. Speaking of Pixar's newest Disney Plus release, recently reviewed that as well. So you can check that one out. But yeah, one of my social media, if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. Check out that as well if you want to. That's not how you say that, but you know what I meant. Check that out as well if you want to. Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk. Geek Town Radio is on a break at the moment. You can still go listen to the newest episode, but you can also head over to geektown.co.uk through the week and see your latest TV and film news run by David over there. And of course, you can find us on YouTube as well at Entertainment Talk Plays for just bits and bobs, lots of bits and bobs. Anyway, thanks very much for listening, and I'll see you on the other side for spoilers. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcast that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, it's time for spoilers. What should we talk about first? I did like the end of the film. Of course, Elio had his choice to make. Would he stay with what he deems as his people, or will he continue his revived kind of relationship with, I believe it was his aunt? It was quite interesting to see, you know, Elio at the start, and he's just genuinely just not like, he just wants to... just wants to leave the earth. He just wants to find... he wants to find his people. He wants to find that thing in life. Because he's just lost his parents as well. So that was pretty good. I liked all the little bits of... I've noticed Pixar started doing this a bit more recently. And they're doing it pretty well. Not in the same way that Inside Out 2 and Win or Lose do it. But the way they use tools in certain films, and what I mean by that in this film is you've got like the translator little thing, you've got the leader little pin thing that Elio gets. Thought all those bits and pieces were quite cool, not used in the same way as what's in Win or Lose or Inside Out 2, but like kind of reminded me of that sort of thing. What else we have to talk about? I love the aunt's realization and how that played out of the clone, particularly the eye thing. That was like, there was some kid who was like, "Oh, the eye," or something like that. So that was pretty funny. That was pretty cute as well. What else was there? There was like the little... how does Pixar manage to, like, because she managed to get one, because it's the clone that's living with her, right? Managed to get one of his hairs and like start looking at it, and then just bounces away. Like, that should be silly and not funny, and maybe some of you didn't find it funny or whatever, but like the way it was just kind of, because you saw it move off the petri dish thing and just it tried to make its way back into his head, because I was like, how is she gonna catch this thing? It's a hair. It's like very, very difficult to grab, especially when it's bouncing around and stuff. So I thought that was quite fun. There's a few kind of there was lots and lots of little sprinkled cute and funny moments in this film, some of which were in the same scene where I just sat there and smiled at certain stuff, and then like kind of giggled or not giggled, but like, you know, lightly laughed and then laughed at certain points. There was a few times where like a character would like tap on something, or I remember there was a bit when I think Elio tried to fly the ship for the first time and it was like bouncing into the other ship and it looked really small. Just loads and loads of little bits like that. I thought that was really great. I did think the villain of this film was quite fun and funny. It kind of made me think of like a now it depends what you think of Zurg from Toy Story, because I think Zurg is very cool. Although most characters from Toy Story are very cool, it kind of reminded me of like a Zurg, but specifically funny. Because apart from a few bits in Toy Story where it's like, you know, to do with the I am your father parts in Toy Story, which can come across quite funny, Zurg's not really... Toy Story doesn't try to make Zurg like funny. But, and again, I felt like it was something that shouldn't work. It was this, like, oh my god, here's this big bad who's gonna like kill everybody. And the film very, very deliberately played him out to be this like, oh, he's got a clumsy side to him, but he can still, you know, get this massive gun out and like destroy stuff. That threat was still there. And it was interesting because it never felt like, oh, he's actually gonna destroy a bunch of stuff or actually kill these characters. Excuse me, it never felt like that was something the film was gonna do, and I was totally fine with that. And there was just a couple of really great scenes where like he's almost not pretending to be evil, but trying his hardest to be evil, and it came off in this just comedic way. I thought he was one of the funnier characters in this film, and even with his son as well. I know it kind of plays out in the trailer, but when Elio first meets that character, and is played as this like you know. Evil worm thing with like you know 50 teeth or something, and it's roaring at Elio, and he's getting you know caught up in the cobwebs and stuff, and then he tries to help him. So I thought the actual balance there of what would you call it? I wouldn't even describe it as slapstick. I don't know what I would describe it as. It's sort of these characters look like they're supposed to be intimidating and threatening, and you know that they still could be. But the film deliberately tries to play them off as like, not fourth-wall breaking funny. I don't know really how to describe it because it's not something I see very much in the things that I consume. But I totally, it's probably because it clicked for me and I got what they were going for, and then they nailed what they were going for. So I thought that was really, really, really good as well. I like the asteroid scene, that was really great with the whole dodging thing and him and his aunt trying to work together. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, I like the ending, like I said. I like the beginning as well. I like the middle. I like all of it. What else is there for me to talk about? This doesn't feel like a spoiler-heavy film. It's not like sort of, you know, characters died or something got destroyed. I mean, yeah, his parents died, but you know, that was before the film kind of started. I thought it was fun and interesting to also kind of see, like, when the clone Elio comes back from this camp and he's completely changed, and at this time his aunt's like, oh damn, this thing really did, like, it was really, really good for you. And then there's one of the earlier funnier bits. He's trying to do this perfect trimming of this garden. He cuts his finger off and he's kind of like not aware that that's a thing that can be really bad. He's like, oops, my, it's like the end of his finger or whatever, and it just popped, because I was kind of wondering, like, oh, how is that going to work, is, and they solved it very, very quickly, but I immediately thought, like, oh, okay, there's no blood, and then he just popped it back on, so I thought that was kind of fun, so that was really good. What other funny moments can I think of? There was just so many. Yeah, sorry. There was just so many of them throughout the film. I would have to have, like, noted them down or whatever. So, is that everything I want to talk about? This will probably be one of them ones I publish this, and then about an hour later, I remember like a talking point or something. So, but I really, really enjoyed it. I would where would I kind of put this among Pixar's library? Because obviously the bar is quite high. This is definitely in the top half of their films. I can't think of where I would rank it right now. I'm just kind of thinking, like, okay, is this a top 10 Pixar film? It would help if I knew the number of films they've actually had, then I could actually say. I don't know about top 10. Not, again, not because I didn't like it, but because, you know, you think of top 10 Pixar films, there's some incredible stuff in there. I don't know that it quite goes that high, because it just can't shove its way up there. But I think this is a top half best Pixar film. But I'm kind of doing this on the spot, so. Yeah. But anyway, another day, another win for Pixar, another fantastic film. The consistency continues. Yes, some of their films haven't been as good as others, and some of them have been, you know, some of the best films ever released. but I still don't think Pixar's made a film I would describe as bad. I know some people look at the Cars films a lot and stuff, but I've seen those three Cars films. They're all right. They have some mistakes in them, but I've seen, when I think of actual bad, like, you know, bad films, Cars 1, 2, and 3 isn't one of them. So, yep, heading on to 30 years of consistent excellence for me. At least that's just my opinion. And next up, because I know I said this on my Win or Lose podcast, Elio has now come and gone. I do believe we got Hopper, and there is some, I think there's one other mini series or something, but in about a year's time, I think it's June 19th, 2026, is a very, very, very big one, Toy Story 5. We've seen some concept art, we've seen some concept images, we've not seen an actual trailer, apart from the little mini announcement thing that they did. Makes me wonder what Pixar's going to do for Toy Story's 30th anniversary, and for its own 30th. I know they've been around longer than 30 years, but their first theatrical film was Toy Story 1, so I kind of market that as the proper start point. Because, yeah, eventually we'll have a trailer for Toy Story 5, and we'll see what they got up their sleeve for that. And, of course, I can't wait to see my my buddies again, Buzz and Woody and everybody else that's going to be in that film. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, actually, going from this, which I think is excellent, to something which I assume will have a lot of eyes on it, Toy Story 5. Whether people like it or not, I assume it will have a lot of eyes on it, unlike this film. So, we'll see how that goes. But then again, you know, if you don't go and see this film, and it flops at the box office, and then Toy Story 5 makes a billion, well, then they'll probably make Toy Story 6, won't they? So, which I'm also fine with. So, bring on the next, what that'd be, 21 Toy Story films, if we're going to reach up to 27. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's all I've got. Thank you very much for listening, and yeah, so I just said for my next film, they're starting to stack up a bit now because that July bunch is going to come up. 28 years later, some point maybe this week, Jurassic Park. Is it Jurassic Park? I can't remember the full name of it. I'm going to see it, but my excitement level is very 50-50 for that film. Megan 2.0 comes out. I'll see if I can get around to that one. And then, of course, we got, yeah, the big three, Jurassic Park, Superman, and then Fantastic Four. So we're gonna aim to see all of them. When and where those reviews will come out, have to just wait and see. Anyway, thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.